Hello, everybody. This is The War Room, sponsored by thewarhq.co.uk. Keep listening to the end, and we'll drop a wee special surprise for you, as I said, right at the end of this podcast. So, on with the show. Hello, everybody. It's Paul here at The War Room, and I'm back from sunny Normandy. It was pretty much sunny for most of it. As you may have gathered, this weekend was the D-Day weekend. Remembrance on the 6th. And then lots of events and things going on for everybody to look at over the whole of Normandy. But for bolt action, the special event of the weekend was the French Nationals, which were held at the Overlord Museum. So, that's where I was off to at the weekend. How did the adventure go? And it was an adventure, I have to say. Well, I went down to Nottingham on Thursday night. Yes, on Thursday night, stayed over in Nottingham, and I met up with Steve Morgan, the sales manager of Warlord, and you may know him from having written the Pike and Shot rulebook. We drove down from Nottingham on Friday morning, looking to get on the Eurotunnel at about lunchtime. There was a few delays, it would be fair to say. We ended up stopped at the Channel Tunnel for about 6 hours. We were hoping to get to Normandy sort of mid-evening, meet up with some of the guys at the Overlord Museum, maybe go for dinner, have a bit of fun. But as it transpired, we got into our accommodation about 1 o'clock that night. Well, it would be 1 o'clock in the morning, so very much later that night. So all the Friday night plans were out of the window. And it was pouring with rain, and it was very, very windy. It was the back end of a storm. So by the time we got to the accommodation, we were more than happy just to go to bed. The next morning, Saturday, saw us waking up at 6:30, meeting downstairs at 7:30. And the start of the adventure had well and truly begun. As I was sitting down there waiting for Steve to come down to meet him, there were several elderly gentlemen downstairs, all wearing t-shirts that were the same, got talking to them, and it turned out that one of them was the padre to the Royal Marines. And he was there with several folk and several other padres, ministers, and he was also there with one of the veterans. So we got talking to them, and I mentioned my interest in Port-en-Bessin, which is the site of the Commando 47's heroics on the day after D-Day. Oh, I must be drunk. Sorry, guys. So I got talking to him, and he was showing me the photos, because he was the presiding minister at the Port-en-Bessin remembrance on the 6th. So he showed me a load of photos, we got talking, and it wasn't very long before Steve came down. Oh, excuse me, yawning already, still recovering from that trip. Steve came down, we had a quick chat, and we were off. Drove through the French countryside, about half an hour's journey from Cannes, where we were, up to the Overlord Museum. Went to have a look and see if we could get down to Omaha Beach. It was all cordoned off still from the weekend, where the American president and the French president and all those dignitaries had been laying the remembrance wreaths. So we couldn't actually get down. It was a little disappointing, but yeah, it was okay. And we went on to the Overlord Museum. Now, French Nationals are actually on the Sunday. But we turned up at the museum. We were meeting with several people. Met with Eric Weisberger. I hope I've got that surname right, Eric. Lovely guy. Eric is the French sales representative for France, and he is very much part of the French bolt action community, very much looked up to. We met him and we met his dad. Now, his dad was dressed for the weekend as a sergeant in the American Airborne, Screaming Eagles. So he added a bit of colour. But of course, there was an awful lot of World War II vehicles parked outside. We got in, had a quick chat. I took some pictures, which you can see on Facebook. There was various displays. There was quite a lot of displays. Some in 28mm, some in much larger. But they were all very striking. I did get pictures of them, so do go and have a look on my Facebook at the War HQ. And we started to help setting up tables, generally mingling. And it was quite rainy in the morning. It was heavy showers. And between the showers, we managed to get out, get stuff from the car. And generally just help towards getting ready for the next day. About lunchtime, weather held up. And we got out to have a look at the vehicles. There was a Panzer IV. And a Puma. I think there's quite a lot of Facebook footage of them on the run-up, but again, I've got pictures of them. Several Shermans, there was a Chaffee, and lots of other vehicles, Jeeps, vans, universal carriers, various tractors, etc. So they were all running about in the park, lots of reenactors there, lots of people running around. And of course, Overlord Museum itself. Now, they knew it was going to be a busy weekend, but that weekend was much, much busier than anybody had envisaged. So the queue for lunch was huge. So whilst Steve and Eric waited in the lunch queue to get our lunch for us, Eric's dad and myself went and we had a look round the Overlord Museum, which was fabulous. Reminded me a little bit of the Hartenstein Museum over at Arnhem. Hartenstein isn't in Arnhem, it's just up the road. Remember me very much of it, and it was excellent. Really good museum. Lots of vehicles on show. Some of the usual brigades, one or two slightly more unusual, but Shermans, Pumas, Panzers, Kettlegrads, Half Tracks, all sorts. And that was really interesting, and all set out in a very interesting way. And, excuse me again, my apologies once more. And it was really just a fabulous time. After lunch, well, by the time we got lunch, it was pretty late. And the Overlord sells the local cider, which I'm told is excellent, although I didn't actually taste it. But lunch probably finished about 3 o'clock, to be honest. Then we went to back to the tents, the display and the competition for models, etc., was actually in two marquees next to the museum. So we went back in there. Most of the guys that were playing on the Sunday had turned up on the Saturday to look at things and just to mill. So spent a long time chatting with the French crowd. Saw some old friends. There was Jan Cleach there, who was the French captain at the World Team Championships. The German captain, Manuel, was also there. And they introduced us to players. We saw some of the French team. And we just spent the time chatting, bolt action, having a laugh. And all the usual kind of things you do at a bolt action event when you've got time on your hands. Wasn't long before it was about tea time, so we decided we would go into Port-en-Bassin, which is only 2 or 3 miles away from the Overlord Museum. And as some of you know, the Commando 47 is my favourite speciality, and the chance to go to Port-en-Bessin was very much appreciated by myself. So into town we went. It was an interesting experience, having read about it extensively and read about the actions went on and read the descriptions, looked at old photographs. It was very eerie almost coming into Port-en-Bessin when I could recognise from the descriptions the houses and the streets that we were on, and I could tell what streets had had certain actions during the whole assault on Port-en-Bessin. And it was just absolutely fabulous. It really was. Absolutely made my trip. We walked into town down by the harbour and met up with some guys that recognised us. They were reenactors. They had a... What did they have? I think they had jeeps with them. So they came up and said hi to myself and Steve, to Eric and his dad, and asked us to come and have a seat with them and have dinner with them. So, of course, it would have been terribly rude not to take them up on their kind offer. And we went off, sat with the guys, talked all things World War II and Normandy, had some of the local fare, and it's very amiss of me. I don't recall what it was, but it was basically a savoury pancake, which is a local delicacy. It was superb. Had a few drinks, chatted along until the guys had to leave. They offered to give us rides in their jeeps round about the French countryside, which would have been fabulous, but I was pretty much hell-bent on going up to have a look at the Captain Cousins Memorial, if I could find it. For those that don't know, Captain Cousins, commando captain who led an assault on a Tobruk, which is a concrete reinforced machine gun emplacement. He died in the attack. The attack was successful. Unfortunately, he was killed with grenade shrapnel during the attack and was mentioned in dispatches. And it's felt at the time that he didn't get a VC because commandos were expected to be a bit braver, and the commandos in general probably didn't receive as many VCs as the Royal Marines and the commandos maybe hoped that they would in retrospect. I don't know if I've quite put that right, but you know what I mean. So I wanted to go and have a look at that, and we did climb up a fairly steep hill to see that. And again, Steve, Eric and his dad were kind of dragged along, and they put up with me, and they were absolute gentlemen. And then after having a look at that, which is on the eastern feature of the harbour, we decided we'd go up to the western feature, where the sort of official Royal Marine Memorial is, and went up there to have a look, taking the views. And up there is the actual bunker that was assaulted. The Royal Marine Memorial is literally on top of the bunker, which is set into the cliff there, and you can go down into the bunker and have a look at the view. It was presumably predominantly used as an observation post, possibly for spotting for guns and also to keep an eye on the traffic in the channel. So we spent a bit of time there. And it was probably getting on for about 10 o'clock by that time, and we made our way back to the apartment for the evening. Up in the morning the next day, usual stuff, and we made our way out to Overlord. This is Sunday, it's the morning of the French Nationals, and as some of you will know, the French and the Continentals, Sunday morning doesn't tend to be the morning where all these guys get up very early. As a result, the start of the competition was delayed a little bit, waiting for everyone to turn up. But it wasn't long before we were all there and we got set into our first games. My first game, I was playing my Commando 4-7, which was Captain Cousins. So I took a captain with a six-man command unit, which you can do with the Commando 4-7 PDF. I took two full 11-man squads of commandos, one with grenades, one without. They were all with rifles. I took two light mortars, a sniper. I took a smaller six-man squad of commandos with rifles. I took, what else did I take? I took an intelligence officer, and he was a five-man squad, and, oh, can't remember what else, but it was 11 dice altogether. So we came up against the exact list I didn't want to come up against, which was armoured list. However, we were playing meeting engagement, and by some fluke, by hook or by crook, I managed to win that game. So I was quite pleased, quite chuffed with myself. I'd set myself the target of winning two games out of four for the day. The list I took had some glaring holes in it and things it wasn't good at. The only anti-tank I had at all was the 11-man squad with grenades. So any armour of any sort, really, even armoured cars, I was probably going to struggle against unless I was very fortunate. But we won the first game. It was an excellent game and I had a great deal of fun, and my opponent did too. And we friended each other on Facebook, and I'm sure we'll be keeping in touch with each other. My second game was against one of the guys from the French team. Le Catin is his nickname. An absolute gent, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. His list was flamingos. Three flamingos, two small Panzer I's, I think they were. So again, I'm up against an armored platoon. I knew it was going to be a long game, and my only chance at all was to distract him on one flank. We were playing hold until relieved. So that's one where there's a objective in the middle, you put two infantry units out, and whoever holds the objective at the end of the game is the winner. As you can tell, I was going to be struggling. Really, all I needed to do was move those flamingos up, place them on ambush, and that was the end of the game, basically. However, my only chance, as I was saying, was to try and distract them on one flank and come up the other flank. We had a wood and on one side and in the middle, and on the other flank, there was a road growing right the way up, but it was chicaned, so you couldn't drive straight up and down it. And there was houses either side of that road. So, quite a distinct table. So my plan was to distract him on the wooded side by putting some troops up there, and hopefully to come in on the road if I could get most of his vehicles on the other side. I was extraordinarily lucky in that he did put two-thirds of his vehicles up the flank I wanted him to, and I managed to get him to go for those troops. Even having fallen into this plan, it was not likely, even in my head, that I was going to win this one. He also had a howling cow, and he also had, I forgot what they call it, but it's the rocket launcher on the half track as well. Oh, I also had a universal carrier. My universal carrier was taken out first go, by the Howling Cow. Or was it? No, it was preliminary bombardment took out my universal carrier, which was a recce carrier, which would have maybe distracted some shots onto it. But my plan kind of worked. He did mess about trying to take out small groups down that side, which I knew were going to die. I did manage to come up the road, and with three units, I put an 11-man unit up there. I put my command squad and my intelligence squad up there. And lo and behold, they didn't survive, but my other 11-man squad with grenades, they managed to survive intact till turn six. He had packed out the objective, which is exactly what he should have done, but he left one small gap which allowed me with that unit to assault a tank that was in front of the objective. I assaulted the tank. I didn't destroy it, but it allowed me to reposition after the assault to within 3 inches of the objective, which if the turn had ended on six, I would have got a draw, which was the best result I could ever have hoped for. It wasn't a deserved result. However, we rolled the dice and it went to turn seven and I conceded. There was no point in carrying on. He had about seven units that were crowding out that objective. Even if I'd have gone first, the best I could do was kill one of the units that were there, whatever they were, and those rest of the units would have just wiped out those Marines. I think he had two flamingos there, so yeah. It is what it is, and Lacatan truly deserved his win, and good luck to him. So I was on one win, one loss, and went into the third game, which it turned out was going to be the final game because of time constraints. So that was fine, and I had an excellent game, this time against infantry, and I managed to win that fairly concedingly. We were playing quarters, and as I say, I managed to win that fairly convincingly by an awful lot of points, and ended up finishing in fifth place out of 30, so I was very, very pleased with that. Very pleased indeed, actually, on the day. Lacatan actually ended up winning it. He was the only player to win three games. And, yeah, well done to him. It was very deserved. It was an excellent competition. There were some very good players. I think Manuel from Germany, the German team captain, came second. And there was a young French lad came third who was actually thrilled to come third. But I don't recall his name. I wasn't told his name and I haven't found it out yet, so I will find it out. But congratulations to all those three. They did play excellently. The competition itself was a lot of fun. There was a lot of laughs. Jan and his team ran a very tight competition. They were excellent, and I would thoroughly, thoroughly recommend going to the French Nationals and seeing Normandy and Overlord Museum and Omaha Beaches and anything else you can get out to see. Fabulous weekend. We did the prize giving. I was there as the Warlord Ambassador with Steve. I took pictures and Eric awarded the prizes as he was the local French Warlord name. Great job done. We packed up as quickly as we could to make our way back to the Eurotunnel. Spent a long night travelling. Started off on the road at about 8 o'clock. Got to Eurotunnel just past midnight. Got our train across about 1 o'clock. Drove till about 4, 5 o'clock in the morning to get to Steve's house, and from Steve's house I drove all the way back to Scotland, arriving home Monday about 2 o'clock, at which time I promptly went to bed and fell asleep. And that was pretty much the story of the Normandy weekend. Guys, thoroughly recommend it to all of you. It was a fantastic weekend, and very grateful to have this little position as Warlord Ambassador, which allows me to do these things, and it was so enjoyable. Can't recommend it enough. If you get a chance to play against bolt action players for other countries, get off your backsides and do it, lads. You will not look back. So, I think that's plenty. I've told you about the trip to Normandy. Why not tell me about the best trips you've had involving bolt action? Leave them in your usual places. You can get me on Facebook at the War HQ. You can get me on YouTube. You can email me at warhq.co.uk@gmail.com. Or anywhere else you see me. Just give me a nudge. Leave me a message. Now, I will wish you mahalo for now. But there is a little message from the warhq.co.uk to come. Hi there, guys. We said we would contact you. And what we're going to do is give you 15% off your purchases to anybody who's listening to the podcast. And to do that, all you have to do is enter a code when you get to the basket section on the site. And the code you need is POD21, POD21, to get you 15% all your purchases from the warhq.co.uk.